Welcome back to Torah on the Web. My name is Jack Abramowitz from OUTorah.org. And today we're talking with Allison Josephs, who's the founder of an interesting website called JewInTheCity.com. Welcome, Allison.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, thank you for joining us. I guess really the first question is, what is Jew in the City?
Okay, so Jew in the City is basically a website with articles, probably most known for its YouTube videos, and the goal of Jew in the City is to break down misconceptions about Orthodox Jews, and you know, I think we say offer a humorous, meaningful look into Orthodox Judaism. I think there's a lot of people, non-Jewish and non-Orthodox, that have a lot of negative associations with what Orthodox Jews are. I certainly did when I was growing up, so I decided to sort of take this issue head on and, you know, use the internet and social media to, you know, break down these misunderstandings.
And what kind of misunderstandings have you addressed through the website?
Oh, all sorts of ones. You know, we've done things like the hole in the sheet. We've talked about hair covering. Most people think that under most people's wigs is a shaved head. We've talked about science versus Torah. I think most people think that if you're an Orthodox Jew, you automatically believe in a literal creation story. We've done, you know, misconceptions around the mikveh. You know, pretty much, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be, you know, broken down. I think really the main thing is just a negativity and a feeling of disassociation. That's a big thing that I felt when I was growing up. We would visit Manhattan probably once a month, and I would look at the Orthodox Jews that I would see there sort of walking along the street and think about how different they were and how weird they were. And I remember the first time I saw a guy in a black hat who actually was a guy from Yeshiva University, not even, you know, the most ultra-Orthodox of circles. The first time I saw him smile, I was shocked that, like, he's allowed to smile. These people actually know how to, like, have fun. So
I'm smiling right now hearing you say that.
You know, it's, I think, unfortunately, in media, both in, like, newspaper headlines, I was just talking to my father about this a few minutes ago, sort of it's all the negative stuff that Orthodox Jews are doing are always called the Orthodox, the ultra-Orthodox, and somehow when positive things happen, if you look at this guy, Idan, that was just on the show America's Got Talent, or the Maccabees, they never actually openly call them Orthodox in any of the programs. Look it up online. They call them kippah-clad, kippah-wearing, a Jewish a cappella group from Yeshiva University, but then whenever there's stories about molestation or cases of defrauding, then, you know, we hear Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox, and I think it makes a real impression in people's minds about, you know, how they associate Orthodoxy. And for me, you know, I got started along my Jewish journey because I was searching for meaning and purpose in life at 8, 9 years old, and I never thought to look into, you know, this more, in my mind, strict version of Judaism because it just seems so negative and so, you know, nothing I'd ever want to touch. And it's a real shame because I think it's these negative associations keep so many Jews from getting that opportunity to discover, you know, what's rightfully theirs.
Well, you've got a great mission. How has it been received?
You know, thank God. You know, they say, like, you know, 2 Jews, 3 opinions. And although I can't say that I've pleased everyone, you know, there's people, I think, you know, that are at certain points too much to the right or certain point too much to the left that, you know, I'll just never be able to please. But sort of that spot in the middle is such a wide range of people that I hear from, all different types of Orthodox Jews, people that were religious that left it and, you know, are telling me that I'm presenting, you know, observant Judaism in a way that's actually appealing to them. You know, people that have, you know, very little Jewish background, really all, and also non-Jews, and also the relatives of Bali Tshuva. So it's really, it feels nice to, you know, be able to do something that so many people can agree on because that happens so, so, you know, not too often for Jews, unfortunately, so.
Right. Now, you mentioned the YouTube videos. I think that Jew in the City has really utilized the social media much better than a lot of other sites have done. Can you discuss your use of those tools as well?
So I'll tell you the thing that I realized about YouTube, because Jew in the City really got its start first on YouTube, and after making a couple of videos, I came up with a brilliant idea of quitting both of my jobs while my husband was in law school to launch the whole thing. So
sounds like a plan.
Yeah, it was a great plan. What I noticed about YouTube is that a person's personality can come across you know, on the screen. And that's really why I believe people are so interested in celebrities. We are watching them on movies and TV, and we feel like we know them, and they don't know us. It's really a very one-sided relationship, but we look at them, and we suddenly care about them getting married and getting pregnant and getting divorced. And so there's this interesting phenomenon that happens where the person viewing on the screen has this automatic connection. And what I saw in real life is that when a nice, normal, Orthodox Jew can have a nice conversation on a plane or a bus or, you know, in some... They can break down those misconceptions just sort of by being there. And I figured, since I can't do this, or, you know, there's not enough of us to break down these misconceptions one by one in person, YouTube, where you can broadcast yourself, can put that message out. You know, one time you make the video, and then it can get watched, you know, 200,000 times. I think the videos are, you know, well over 700,000 views at this point. So by, you know, putting out my personality on YouTube, and I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, and now we actually have some interns running Pinterest and Tumblr, and it's just sort of a way of, like, putting out a real personality, not some caricature that, you know, a TV show or a movie is putting out of some, like, weird version of an Orthodox Jew, but an actual Orthodox Jew, you know, just sort of saying silly things that I'm thinking. And I think it just puts a humanity to it, and it's suddenly that gap of, like, the us and the them gets, you know, really, it's shrunk.
Mm-hmm. Tangential to your comment about celebrity appeal, Mayim Bialik from Blossom and the Big Bang Theory, and she's also a scientist, and she's published parenting books. She's been involved with your website, so she's done some videos and such with you. Can you discuss that?
Yeah, sure. So Mayim and I have been learning through Partners in Torah for over 6 years. The cool thing is that I actually thought of reaching out to her 4 years before we got connected. On a whim one night, I thought of her. I wondered what happened to her. It was like a decade since Blossom had been over. Hadn't thought of her since then. I tried to find her to learn with her through Partners in Torah where I worked. I couldn't get through to her because, you know, celebrities generally don't list their contact information online. And then 4 years later, on her own, we got matched. So since we've been learning, you know, she's really grown a lot in her observance and her commitment, and she's very vocal about it. I mean, she's basically, I think, probably the most public Baal Tshuva that the world has ever seen before. Like,
She blogs about it on Kveller, I've seen.
Yeah, she talks about it a ton. You know, Montes Yahoo people sort of saw, like, once he was already religious, but she's sort of going through the process, like, before everyone's eyes and sort of talking about the struggles and the stuff that, you know, is coming easier. And I think it's just such a tremendous Kiddush Hashem that she's out there like that. And one of the first questions I asked her when we started learning was, did you ever consider why God made you famous? You know, this is one of the things you need to sort of think about as part of your, you know, mission in life, and everything that God gives us, both good and bad, we have to somehow use, you know, to serve him. And one of the ways that she has helped you in the city is by, you know, promoting a lot of the, you know, the stuff that we put out there, being in some of the videos herself. And like I said before, when a celebrity endorses something, it just gives it automatically. You know, what I like to joke is that I believe that celebrities are the Gedolei Hador of the secular world, or, you know, are the sort of the giants of the secular world. So if you can get, you know, a celebrity to endorse something you're doing, it automatically will get it out to, you know, to more people.
Mm-hmm. Along similar lines, there's a reason I couldn't reach you yesterday. Can you discuss that?
Yeah, sure. So yesterday we were up to something pretty fun. We were in D.C. with our crew, and we were filming Senator Joe Lieberman. We're working on a new video now called Orthodox Jewish All-Stars. It's got a lot of big names, including Senator Lieberman, Mayim Bialik, Dimitri Salida, Shomer Shabbos from Boxer, HBO producer Jamie Geller, from female Rhodes scholar Miriam Rosenbaum. The purpose of the video basically is to show people that if you're an Orthodox Jew, you're not automatically going to become a rabbi if you're a man, or a housewife if you're a woman. And not that there's anything wrong with, you know, staying home with your kids or being a rabbi. Those are both wonderful, you know, things to do. It's just that I think people often think that when you're in a religious Jew, you're limited in terms of your career. And while, of course, you can't do any career, there are so many industries that Orthodox Jews are not only in but are super successful in. And I think this is something that people just don't understand and aren't aware of. And, again, one of those things that sort of limits people from ever considering it, because if they want to go into X, Y, or Z industry, they might think, well, if I, you know, got more religious, I couldn't live out those dreams. And so we want to show people that, you know, there's a lot that you can do when you stay true to your heritage. So,
fantastic. Well, this is Jack Abramowitz, and you've been listening to Torah on the Web. I'd like to thank Allison Joseph for joining us, and
thanks,
congratulations on 5 years of Jew in the City.
Thank you.
Check it out at jewinthecity.com.